Closes my first.
We've let all the nice people leave.
Yeah, do just the first one.
Okay. I'm going to open the House Committee on Land Use. And would like to...
Do you open a work session?
Yes. I'm going to open a work session for the purpose of introduction of committee bills.
Chair Klum, I move that LC 1167, dated 10-18-12, be introduced as a committee bill.
You don't do them all.
Do I do them all?
Just, yeah.
And LC 3272, dated 12-15-13, and LC 3213, dated 12-13-13, all be introduced as committee bills.
Vice Chair Frederick moves that LC 1167, LC 3272, and LC 3213 be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Again, this does not in any way imply support for the bill, just that they could be introduced and they may or may not ever get a hearing. Any objection? This is the one time where one person could stop the whole process with just like a filibuster opportunity. Oh.
Don't give him a chance like that.
Okay, seeing none, the bills are introduced as committee bills. And I will open a public hearing on... Where is it? House Bill? Nope. No, that's the one I'm not doing anything with. Dave, I just promised those people I wouldn't do anything on. No.
Let's do it anyway. Come on.
Representative Ungers. House Bill 2746. Okay. Representative Ungers.
And what is exactly the kind of...
It is, and I don't know.
He knows. Otherwise, we're not going to
do anything. Chair Klum, do you want...
This is Representative Unger's bill, so he's going to go ahead and talk about it from the dais, and then in the meantime, we are going to ask our witnesses to... We have four, but I think they're all together. How do you want to do that? Okay, so Katie and Dave Van Ash, or however you want to arrange yourselves. Representative Unger?
Yeah, so thank you, Chair Klum. House Bill 2746 is a bill that I've worked on with a handful of farmers in my district to try to address and clarify some of the language around replacing farm dwellings on farmland. And I want to give a quick introduction and all that. I know a bunch of folks from Washington County here, including one relative, so be nice.
I noticed Unger on the witness list here.
There's more than one of us. A couple things to know about this provision. The reason why we need to make this fix is that there's just a couple of hurdles that that make it unreasonable for farmers to file and get replacement dwellings at times. Because the way that the statute currently reads, there's quite a bit of pressure on farmers to apply right away, use their replacement permit right away. And so if you're a farmer who has only 5 or 6 months to file all the necessary paperwork, what you end up with is you get your permit, then you run out of time, and then you can't get another one. So what this would do is to make sure that you have a time certain with which to apply for a replacement dwelling so that you have the time you need to make sure that if you're going to replace the farmhouse on your farm property, that you can. There are a couple of important things in here that I think are important to make sure that we're not using too much farmland for dwellings. The first one is that we want to make sure that we're only allowing for the replacement of dwellings that actually were dwellings. And so one of the things in this provision right that isn't in here right now, but we have an amendment for, and we're working on the amendments. We're not ready to move this bill today. I apologize. We're still kind of sorting through them. The first thing we want to make sure is that this actually was a dwelling where people were living. There are a variety of shacks, sheds, barns, things that where people don't live. And you want to make sure that in the legislation you guys is before you, there is language around indoor plumbing, the kitchen sink, toilet, the kinds of things that would imply that someone actually lived here at some point. We actually allow for the fact that some of this stuff might have been stolen or ripped out over the course of time. It doesn't necessarily have to be there right now, but there has to be evidence that it was there at one time. The other thing that we're working to figure out is also make sure that you paid property on the dwelling and property taxes on the dwelling at some point, because that's also another one of those indications that people actually lived there at some point. But overall, these replacements are important, not just because people have the right to them, but also because oftentimes when you're farming on a piece of land, you living there is an important part of being of actually farming it. Because if you're growing a crop that's valuable, living there helps to protect it from theft. Sometimes you got to be there almost 24 hours a day to do some of the maintenance that is required. Like if you're, and Mark will come up here and talk about blueberries, but if you're growing blueberries, you got to worry about birds all the time, and birds don't go away. They never go away, actually. Being there on the premises, you can shoot them, but they still come back. So being there on the property is actually a use that's really important to farmers. And so this isn't just about having a nice house to live in. It's about actually being able to do the business that we need to get done out in the fields every day. And so that's all I'll say. I'll let the folks there from the Farm Bureau and just some of the people who are actually dealing with this issue on the ground describe it more. But I would appreciate your consideration, and I do hope that we can make these fixes. Thank you, Chair Clem.
Any questions for Representative Unger at this point? Although you can also address them later after the panel, too, if you like. After the Audubon Society comes in here and crucifies me for talking about what I just said about shooting birds. Just kidding.
We are.
Audubon Society.
I got one.
Yeah, Representative Holding.
Just curious, in the bill, it talks about, you know, providing evidence satisfactory to the permitting authority, and I'm guessing that somewhere in here it's talking about building code or building permits with the county or something,
right,
as opposed to some other entity that's permitting it.
The county is the permitting authority in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Katie or Dave, whoever you'd like to start with.
Thank you, Chair Clem, members of the committee. For the record, Katie Fast with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Thank you for hearing House Bill 2746 today. This piece of legislation is brought forward because the current system has some conflicts for farmers at this time. And some of those, I think, were addressed well by Representative Unger. I've provided some pictures of some of the dwellings that are there, so you can consider those as we progress through the panel. But right now, under the current standards, they do not address properties that have been damaged or the interiors have been removed, because they had some value that you didn't want to leave there or have been vandalized. Many times these properties have had a case where a relative has died, has moved out, they've sat there for some time unoccupied, and they've gone into disrepair, and folks didn't have the money or the resources at the time to make the improvements into those properties, but because of the current land use laws have left them standing for the ability to come in at a later time and improve them or replace them. The current program also does not give an automatic option for having a deferred replacement time. There's actually a two-track system now. So many times applicants, I think it's a confusing process to know which path you're going to go down, if you're going to do an automatic replacement or a deferred replacement. What the legislation would do is make all replacement dwellings deferred replacements. There's also, on the two-track system, inconsistencies on what you can do with the existing dwelling. On an automatic replacement, it is allowed to be converted into a non-residential use agricultural building. But if you choose the deferred route, that option is not available for farmers. So this legislation would take out those inconsistencies. Also, as Representative Unger mentioned, the time period is a disadvantage to farmers on having those dwellings that after you receive the permit that they must be removed in 3 months. The legislation would extend that out to 1 year. Also, the permit is non-transferable right now to family members. The legislation would allow it to be transferred to a spouse or child. And as we're trying to bring the next generation onto the farms, it's very important to have that option for housing on the farm. This legislation just simply simplifies the permitting path for replacement dwellings. It creates just one path for the landowners and allows them to site the dwelling on anywhere on that lot or parcel of their choosing, which is consistent with the current statute. It modifies the qualifying standards so that if a wood stove has been removed or the roof has caved in, that if you can prove it was there at one time, you still will qualify. And I think it's very important that there are qualifying factors to make sure that this was a dwelling at one time, but this allows a little bit more flexibility. As I said, it allows it to be transferred. It extends the time. And the other piece, and probably the last piece of importance that it does, is there have been people who have received replacement dwelling permits in the past, and those have become voided because they did not meet the time constraint of 3 months to remove the dwelling. And so this would give those folks who have at one time received a replacement dwelling permit the ability to reapply for that permit within 1 year and then remove that dwelling within that time frame of 1 year. And then they would have the ability that they had lost. In some counties, they are not allowing, I believe, folks to reapply for the permits once they become voided. The other piece is that I think this also creates an incentive for landowners to remove these properties that are in some areas becoming nuisance properties where, as you'll see one, they become dumping sites, vandalized, and I would say, you know, in some cases an eyesore for the community. And this will give an easy incentive for folks to, on their time frame, or at least a reasonable time frame to tear the properties down, remove them, and then rebuild at a later date. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Dave, do you want to go ahead and then we'll...
Sure. Do you have my testimony in front of you?
Yeah, I think we do.
yep. Right or wrong, I think I probably started this process 17 years ago. My name is Dave Van Ash, and I reside at 36130 Northwest Wren Road, Cornelius, Oregon. And I'm here to support this bill. We're a commercial farm family in Washington County, and in about 1978, we began leasing this 87-acre parcel with a full set of farm buildings on it that were constructed in 1874, according to the county. And at that time, there was a tenant in the house, but she left, and nobody wanted to live there. It was run down. But I got a building permit from the county, a replacement dwelling permit, that was good for 2 years. And I'd paid $30,000 during the appraisal of the farm for the building site. That came with the deal. I didn't want a building site. I didn't want to pay the $30,000, but I had to pay that in the appraisal. So I decided, well, I better protect my investment there a little bit. So I got a permit. The permit was only good for 2 years, and then I started working with Farm Bureau and Thousand Friends on this deferred theory. And in 2007, we finally passed Senate Bill 861, which allowed you to defer a permit to some point in the future if you ever wanted to use it. We just didn't want to spend the money. We didn't want to have somebody, a renter, to deal with. But we didn't want to lose the right to build a new dwelling there at some point in time. So Senate Bill 861 gave you the ability to do that, but by then my house was another 11 years older, and the roof was, there wasn't a, you know, you can see the house in the pictures here. It's still standing there, probably stand there for another 100 years unless it burns down or something, but it's deteriorating. It's completely uninhabitable. And anyway, by 2007, the house was no longer eligible as a replacement dwelling. And because it didn't have sound walls, roof, and plumbing, you can see where they existed, but the vandals, the mess people have been in there, took out all the wiring, the plumbing. And so this bill would take care of this problem. You'd be able to get a deferred permit based on this dwelling or and like dwellings like it, because it still exists, put the permit in your deed, and you or your family member can use the permit if you desire at some point in the future. And so I just ask you to support this bill.
Any questions for Katie or Dave? Representative or Vice Chair Frederick?
I have a couple questions, and it's just because of family background and seeing different places. One is, does this apply to mobile homes that have been moved on that have come through at times? I ended up living in one in Nebraska once for a time because we moved from one ranch to the next in order to take care of some things. But you just a trailer that you brought along, this does not apply to that kind of a situation, does it?
Well, the trailer, you could replace, when this house was replaceable in 1996,
yeah,
I could have replaced it with a mobile home.
With a mobile home, okay. What about, I'm talking about a trailer, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Well, the trailer, what I was told then, it had to have an Oregon seal on it. And you couldn't get an Oregon seal until about 1975 or something like that. Before that, they didn't put them on there. So it had to be a kind of a UL-approved type building. So your camping trailer, no.
Okay. And then finally, on a follow-up there.
Sure.
Another thing that my family has lived in for at different times were best to describe sharecropper homes that were temporary homes for folks who were working the various crops. Does this apply to this kind of a thing where you would have clearly temporary shelters and shacks, to be kind, that folks might live in for a short period of time while the crop was coming in and then move on? Does this apply to these kinds of things?
Representative Clem, Representative Frederick, it would depend on if the housing had working plumbing, a heating source that could be proved that it was there, now with current on-farm labor, which might be different than what's in maybe you're considering thinking about, would have those standards. But if you're talking about, a uninsulated with no plumbing, no heating source, kind of summer living place, I don't think that would qualify. It really depends on what the interior structures were or are of the building.
Okay. Thank you. That helps.
Representative Foley.
Thanks. I appreciate this bill. I really think this is a good idea. I'm driven by many old farmhouse, looking at the architecture, I'm going, boy, that's a neat old house. It's too bad it's falling apart. It'd be neat if somebody could rebuild it, because some of them are just really great old places. My question is, and I sort of glanced through the bill a little bit, and it doesn't appear that, I guess my question is would this ever have the ability of actually creating two houses on one piece of property? Because maybe 20 years ago we already replaced it once, and now we're going to come back and get a replacement for the same building again. It doesn't look like that's potential in the bill the way I read it.
Chair Clem, Representative Holvey, no, that isn't. It's one dwelling replaced. You may, if you are in the process, in the time frame, there might be a situation where a family is living in a home. They want to, within 1 year, replace that home. They may, as it works now, live in that home until the new one's built and then tear it down. I think that's still allowable, but not that they would both remain, or you would go in and build another one at another time, unless it's allowed under other land use statutes.
Thank you. And one other, you're actually required to tear down the old one when the new one is built. So it's not just that you can build one and then you can tear down. You actually have to remove the old one when you get the new one built. So
right. I guess I was follow up, Mr. Chair. I was just speaking in the case where maybe somebody already has established a new manufactured home or something else beside the old one, and now they want to just build another one. You know, so you've got two houses on one lot, you know. So now,
this one that I've got, it had a full set of buildings, and we tore down all the old barns. And we actually tore down all the landscaping around the house because of just vandalism. And and we still get vandalism there. I mean, we've got it all boarded up so you can't get in. No trespassing signs everywhere. They still break into it. They drink beer and throw all their beer balls around the outside of it. There's a 10-gallon garbage can sitting there next to the road right now between the road and the house because it's just an attractive nuisance. So we want to get rid of it as quick as possible.
Thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
One thing to add that kind of goes to your questions, Representative Holby. We've been working pretty closely with Thousand Friends of Oregon, in addition to Farm Bureau, on this bill to try to make sure that as we're making these changes, we're not adding to the footprint of non-farm use on this land, because the idea is to promote current farm use, not undermine future farm use. That's what it's worth.
Okay. I think we're finished with you nice people, and let's get David.
Thank you, Chairman.
And
Clement.
Mark Unger. Is it
Tongis.
Tongis.
You guys copy of this? My letter?
She has it over there.
Yeah. She. Okay. Welcome to the Land Use Committee.
Thank you. I'm Mark Unger.
Go ahead.
Dave Tongis.
Yeah. Which one's Mark Unger?
I am.
So you're in some way responsible for this?
No.
No, not at all. Okay.
My dad doesn't even take responsibility for me, so I doubt that my cousin was.
We don't yet know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, so you can say yes safely, and then later it might turn out to be great.
His dad and myself are first and second cousins.
Okay. I'm going to still blame you a little bit or reward you. Depends on how things go.
Mark Farms right next to my dad.
Oh, on great. Right. Yeah, well, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Well, my concern here was that we did buy some property about 4 or 5 years ago that did have a dwelling on it. And we haven't torn it down because hope to that the legislation would change sometime and be able to build a house there. It's on a 55-acre piece of property. We plan on putting in blueberries at some point in time, and it would be quite advantageous to have one of our family members living there so that you can keep an eye on it. There's several things that you watch with the blueberry field. You can have frost that you need to turn the water on, keep from the blossoms from freezing. And we do have a lot of bird damage with blueberries, so you can jump on a four-wheeler pretty quick and run around and shoot at the starlings. I don't know as if even the Audubon Society likes starlings.
No, they don't.
What's that?
No, they don't. They
yeah.
Don't. So, that's what I meant earlier. That's all I was talking about. Jeez.
I knew what you meant.
Mark, I forgot to ask you to say your name for the record for the audio tape.
Mark
please.
Unger.
Yeah. Thank you.
We live on Unger Road. Family's been there for over 100 years. Ben's folks live on the original home place. We live right next door. So my wife helped me write up a letter here earlier today, so I'll read it to you. This letter is to advocate for the change in policy concerning abandoned houses on farm property. My sons and I are third and fourth generation farmers in Oregon. We own a piece of property in Washington County that we also farm as part of our family farm. The property has an abandoned house on it that is beyond repair. At this time, the property is not eligible for a building permit to replace existing structure. Our goal is not to develop this farm ground. Our goal is to simply replace what already exists there. Our plan is to plant more blueberries there as part of our farming operation. it would be much more advantageous to have a home there with activity and inhabitants. A dwelling there would help to deter the constant vandalism and keep a close eye and status on the blueberries. A blueberry field needs keen observation with predators, bird control, heat protection, irrigation, and vandalism. Last year, we had a car right in the backyard of this house. Stolen car, they ripped all the parts out of it, and it's just an eyesore sitting there. So, but I don't plan on tearing it down until this legislation gets changed.
All right, please.
Hi, and good afternoon. My name is David Tongis, and our farm is located 9095 Northwest Kirkman Road in Cornelius. I don't know why, but every time we purchase a piece of property, we get a house on it. And I guess I consider myself a better farmer than I am a landlord. So a lot of these houses, I took some pictures of these houses that we have on our properties here that are abandoned. And, you know, they look pretty good. People want to rent them, but it, liability-wise, it's just not safe to rent the houses and that. And so that's where kind of where we're coming from, that we'd like the option to get rid of the houses and have the right to rebuild them at a later time. So.
All right. Any questions for these gentlemen? Representative Davis.
I think I have questions for Representative Unger when the time is appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, any questions for these two?
Just one real quick for Mr. Unger. So potentially, you, if you were able to rebuild this place, it's possible that that Ben might be able to find a place to do something useful.
This family draw. Yeah.
We could put him on the end of a shotgun or something.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, great. Thank you, too. And
you know, just one more thing. In several years, after if we plant blueberries here, we could probably build a house under the other provision. But in the 5 to 10 years of waiting for that, you know, because right now, isn't it the $80,000 would justify it? Well, there's nobody there all that time, and the extra trips driving back and forth checking on the place.
Right,
it's 4 miles from where we live, and it would also give an opportunity to one of our sons or daughters to live there. Yeah. So,
great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Representative Davis, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I just was looking. Thank you, Chair. I was looking at the text of the bill, page 2, lines 4 through 19, starting line 4. I see it says, as a condition of approval, if the dwelling to be replaced is located on a portion of the lot or parcel that is not zoned for EFU, the applicant shall execute and cause to be recorded in the deed records in which property is located a deed restriction prohibiting the siting of another dwelling on that portion of the lot or parcel. I'm just calling that out to question the intent, Representative Munger, of that section and make sure that we're effectuating the intent with that language. And maybe Katie Fast might be a good representative.
I would say that
Katie Fast might
be able to help a little bit as well.
Chair Clem, Representative Davis, I believe that language is actually, if you go to page 4, I believe that language is taken over from language that's being deleted under kind of the current program. But I'm actually doing that on the top of my head.
You're good. You're good.
Same spot.
So I think on line 8, and I think that is almost the exact language.
Okay, I think you're right.
Transferred over. So that was kind of put in previously in the statute and transferred over as we try to make one track for replacement dwellings, not two.
And we'll have this bill again with when the amendment comes to talk about at that point.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
So I am going to close our hearing on House Bill 2746, carry over House Bill 2746. Might as well, while I'm at it, carry over was that the
2617?
The one I promised people I wouldn't do anything about today. House Bill 2617. And open a public hearing on House Bill 2788. And ask the co-chair to come join us, Farm to School. Talk about Farm to School, whatever you would like to talk about Farm to School funding, please. Sorry.
Subliminal messaging.
Farm to School?
Yeah.
Farm to School. Everybody's leaving.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Representative Peter Buckley, representing South Jackson County and the legislature. Thank you for your time and consideration today. And actually, this does have a connection to farm to school, Mr. Chair. This bill I brought forward on behalf of the constituent who's been an Ashland resident, an Ashland farmer for many, many years. In fact, I'm sure Representative Frederick has probably eaten his restaurant, Geppetto's, in Ashland, which had a long, long run. But part of the restaurant's operation was growing food at the local farm and bringing it to the restaurant for preparation, and a great, wonderful, great community restaurant. But as the owner retired, he put more and more time into his farming operation, and he decided one thing he would do was grow pumpkins every year, part of his property, a fairly large part of his property, and he'd have the kids from the local schools come and do the pumpkin patch thing at Halloween, and every kid would walk away with a pumpkin when they went back to school. And the Jackson County folks actually started to track what he was doing with his property, and they informed him that he could not take the property tax exemption for that part of the property that he was using to give away free pumpkins from, because that was no longer in commercial farming operations. So in looking at the statute, what I would like to offer is the idea that we give people the opportunity, if they wish to use part of their farm in order to provide food for a farm to school program, for instance, or a local food bank, if there's a charitable part of their operation, to let them maintain their status for property tax under that part of the statute. I have not had a tremendous amount of time to look into any unintended consequences that might happen by doing this, and my apologies for that, but I wanted to at least bring forward the idea for your committee to wrestle with and hopefully find a way to make this work for people who wish to do the right thing and make a contribution to their community through the work of their farm.
Fantastic. Any questions for the co-chair? You got something else going on? You're supposed to be working on some numbers or something.
They're all in here, and
poor guy.
Yes.
Anything else? Great. Thank you for making the time to come down. It helps.
Thank you, Chair.
Helps
thank
us.
You, members.
You bet. Philip Kennedy Wong. Here comes the food bank portion of this deal. We'll find out right now if there's any unintended consequences we might need to know about.
Chair Clem and members of the committee, for the record, Philip Kennedy Wong, Oregon Food Bank. I just want to state on behalf of the food bank that we support in principle the goal of this legislation. We actually did not ask Representative Buckley to introduce this bill, although it means that he'll support some of our programs.
Right, exactly.
He'd be more happy to say that.
But all
seriousness aside, also with the same caveats that Representative Buckley shared, this bill came to our attention fairly late, but we wanted to let you know early on that, in principle, we support the concept of farmers actually being much more intentional with growing crops for food banks. And for some of you who may or may not know this, but the food supply in the food banking system is definitely at a point where food banks are struggling not only to get enough food, but to get the right kinds of food. And the right kinds of food means essentially locally grown produce, which carries a lot of nutritional value. And for us, we've done a lot of outreach, and we're doing it intentionally, to meet with farmers to work out arrangements in which farmers would consider growing crops that will go directly to food banks. And we try to do it in a way where it makes good financial sense for the farmer. And we also recognize at the same time there are some challenges for farmers when it comes to, like, donating crops, which is why we have actually a very similar bill, Senate Bill 430. It's not in this chamber yet, but it's a bill that would help ease some of the costs for farmers to donate crops to food banks and other charities, because it does take, workers to get the crop out of the field. It also takes trucks to transport the crops and also storage, especially cold storage, because we're talking perishable items in large capacity at that, which means it's very expensive in terms of electricity and energy. So for us, we see this, this sort of legislation as sort of in principle, something that we want to see happen, that is making it easier for farmers that want to donate to be able to do so and not have any sort of challenges otherwise. And at this point, I'd be more happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions for Philip? Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is a great idea, and thank you for your testimony. My only question is whether or not the change in the statute may be too narrow to cover all the situations that we might want to cover. It says donation to a local food bank or school. Are there other types of nonprofits or churches or community organizations who you feel might get into this business, even though it's a non-business, and in order to promote this sort of thing?
Chair Clement and Representative Davis, that's a very good question. We actually, when we introduced Senate Bill 430, we had it drafted to be to allow farmers to be able to donate to any type of charitable organization. So it would be limited to just food banks or schools. If you look at the types of organizations that receive food from the food bank. And I like to share people, I like to tell people that the Oregon Food Bank system really is the food distribution system for private nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And these private nonprofits run the gamut. They could be shelters, they could be domestic violence, facilities, it could be a Boys and Girls Club. And certainly, since a lot of them do get food from the food bank, it does make sense, and we want to encourage relationships between farmers and local nonprofits and other charitable groups. So certainly, from our perspective, we don't see any issues with, having it much more broader.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up potentially the unintended consequences issue that you brought up, and I'd wonder if there would be any. It seems like a positive to me, but...
We have nobody else to testify on this either, so you're all we've got to probe. And you're supporting in principle, which is always, it's not the words on the page necessarily, so I don't think we're going to move this bill today while we look into some of these questions a little bit more on broadness. We actually got the bill relatively recently as well, and I really didn't have anything else to do that wasn't controversial, so I thought I would put this up now. We have aggregate week next week, so... Okay, any further questions for Philip? Okay.
Thank you.
Then I am going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2788, and I'll carry over House Bill 2788. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
Anything for the good of the order? No? All right, then. Have a good weekend if I don't see folks tomorrow, and adjourn the House Committee on Land Use.